Thank you. And thank you all for your singing. Please be seated. Permanently this time. That's what you get when you put a farmer up front instead of a preacher. Right, Phil?
Sure.
You never know what to expect. Okay. Thank you all. That's good. How random would it be, do you think, if two guys who had met only one time before, as Matt and I had only met once when he came down to a barbecue that we had out on the farm years ago, who live somewhere around 250 to 300 miles apart, as we're discussing things, it turns out we were both born in the same hospital in the same town, which is different than where we live. Well, that's what it was. But Matt and I were both born in Good Samaritan Hospital in Lexington, Kentucky. Didn't know that until last night. So they got two out of two, right? Okay. Matt Hatton is a good friend of Al's from Murray State University, graduate from Murray State University. You now live in Lexington, and you are, among other things, a student at Southern Seminary in Louisville. I said, well, do you drive back and forth, Matt? And he says, oh, you don't do that anymore. You just do it online. So I'm going to let him explain that to you. I will also let him explain the difference between Revit and what's the other one?
AutoCAD,
which is his day job, right? Okay. Working on those different, and Laura could tell you a little something about it, but I have no idea what it is. Matt, as a student at Southern Seminary, is specializing in biblical counseling, which is different than Freudian counseling, different than secular counseling, different than psychological analysis. Biblical counseling. So I'll let him tell you about that. He also has a text picked out this morning. So no further ado, Matt, would you come up? And it's all yours. Okay?
Good. Good morning. When I came in this morning, I was not expecting my wife or her friend or her sister and sister's husband to be here this morning. I thought she was there back home. We are remodeling our house, which is 50-something years old. And when you start to remodel homes that old, you kind of find out you got to start replacing more stuff than what you kind of bargained for. So I thought she was back at home doing that because this upcoming week, that's when everything I'm hoping will be wrapping up. I like to thank the Youngs for hosting me last night and fixing me two great meals. I do thank you for that. That has relaxed me, and I'm very appreciative of that. It's a privilege to be with you this morning. If you asked me Tuesday morning, would I be here on Sunday morning preaching to you all, I would have said no. That's crazy, because you're all 3.5 hours away from me. But Alex called me Tuesday afternoon and said, Matt, would you like to preach? Which was a nice break in the day because I was looking at my computer screen trying to figure out how to make my job easier than what it already, how to get things done faster because I'm on a timeline. And he said, would you like to preach? I think I about almost threw up or fainted in my shirt and my chair. And I said, sure, I will do it. Let's go. So I'm here this morning and I was not expecting them. If you ever gone into a class, if you remember back when you were in school, you sit down and you're ready for your test, and the teacher says, I've made a change. And you're like, oh, great. And everything you've learned just went out of your head. But this is a good surprise, and thank you all for driving down. Right before I get to what we're going to discuss this morning, as he says, I'm from Lexington, Kentucky. I used to drive back and forth to Louisville. It's about an hour's drive up the interstate. But I can take classes online, which helps me stay at home, and I can listen to lectures online and get my work done. I just missed the opportunity to interact with the fellow teachers and students that are actually on campus. So while it's a help, sometimes it can be a hindrance to what you're learning. I went to Murray State for my undergraduate, where I met Alex Young. That's where I became a Christian at through campus outreach, going into my sophomore year in college. I love this part of the state, and I wish I can one day come back and live in this area. I love it better than I do Lexington, Kentucky, because down here, you all move much slower, and I love that pace of life. Up there, everything's real fast, and boom, boom, boom. You got to get things done. Today's passage is coming from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 24 through 27. And before I read the verse to you all, being a Christian in today's world, it seems it's getting harder and harder and harder than it used to be. If you go back and ask your grandparents or ask your parents, they'll say it was a whole lot easier being a Christian during our time than it is today. And most Christians, when they're faced with a tough situation, no matter what stage of life you're in, no matter how old or how young you are, they seem to give up or just take the easy way out and not stick through it. Because we don't like to deal with tough situations. We like the easier way out. All the time. And that cannot be so. The purpose is, how do you persevere in running the race? How can you persevere through the tough situations? Because if you're not dealing with a tough situation right now, I guarantee it, give it time, and it will find you. You don't have to go find it. It knows where you live at. And it can very easily find you. Now, I've got 2 points, and then the third point is the application on how to apply it to your life today. You don't have to wait 2 weeks to apply it. The text is, as I said, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 24 through 27. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly, and I do not box as one beating the air. But I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. The background information is, we know Paul wrote this book. He wrote it between the years of 53 and 55 A.D. Scholars will debate on what exactly year he wrote until Christ comes back. Now, in Rome, we know they had the Olympic Games. In the town of Corinth, they had the games called I've been butchering this all week. It's called the Isthmian Games. Second to the games of the Olympic Games. They'll have runners, boxers, wrestlers. It was a big ordeal. And the people in this area would know what Paul was talking about. They knew what he was writing about. Now, this is also in his 3-year ministry in Ephesus, which was the capital of the Roman province of Asia. This getting close to wrapping him up, and he's about to go into his third part of his Christian journey before he is taken away to Rome. Now, the first point is that verse 24 says, do you know that in a race that all runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Now, in the games, all the runners, their whole goal was to win this prize. And this prize was a wreath of olive leaves. And give it time, and it's going to die. It's going to wither up and just kind of, if you ever seen during the fall, you pick up leaves and you crumple in your hands, it's going to crumble. It does not last. Not for very long. Now, the runners will all start at the same place, and they will all eventually end at the same place. But somebody's got to win for them. For the Christian faith, for people who are believers in Christ, the starting point is at the cross. That's where everybody starts at. Your end is in the grave. And everybody gets there at different points in their life. So while you're running in between the cross and the grave, you have to be able to persevere through tough times. You have to train your body. You got to keep looking forward. with always the cross in your mind where you started at. If you get away from the cross and forget about the cross, then you're going to start running into trouble. And you're going to start going down a path that you do not want to go down. A lot of times for people, that's a path of no return. You don't want to do it. And so you got to keep looking straight ahead. You got to keep almost blinders on your eyes. So you're not looking off to your left, looking off to your right, and veering off. You don't want to do that. Your eyes will determine what direction you go in. Have you ever tried, by show of hands, who's just run in your life? Who's taken a run? All right, Alex, a couple of you brave guys have raised your hands. But even if you're driving, if you drive, or if you start looking off and something catches your attention, and you look off, all of a sudden, you kind of, if you're driving, you start feeling yourself going, your car's going the way you look. If you run, it's the same way. If you look, eventually you're going to start going the way your eyes are going. Your eyes are going to lead you. So if you're looking straight ahead at Christ, you're going to be running straight ahead. Your prize is that way. Your prize is not going to be off on some tangent line that you might go off on. Now Philippians 3, 12 through 16 says, "Not that I already obtained this, or I'm already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me His own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The prize for a Christian is perfect fellowship with Christ." And that's at the end when you're in heaven. That's your prize, as you have complete, perfect fellowship with Christ. That's what you get to win. And it is not perishable. It's forever. It's eternal. You don't have to worry about it drying up and withering away. He cannot take it away. You have it. So point one is, don't worry what's behind you. Don't look off. Keep running straight ahead. You start looking behind you, and you might stumble over your own feet, and you're going to fall. Now point two comes from the verses of 25 through 27. "Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air. But I discipline my body and keep it under control. Lest after I preach unto others, I myself should be disqualified." When you think about runners, they have to train to run a long distance. That's their goal. Is they train. They train all day long on how to run. They're not going to wear heels to run, or they're not going to wear what I call church shoes to run in. It's going to hurt your feet, and they're going to give up really fast. They watch what they eat. They watch on how much sleep they get. They watch, you know, like I said, on your eating, what they take in. I know if I drink Coke, I'm going to struggle the next day if I go running, because that carbonation will mess with you. It'll cramp you up. So they leave and breathe running. They go to bed thinking about running. They wake up thinking about running. That's all they think about. Because they want to win that prize. They want it. That's their whole goal. And if they win that prize, they'll go on to other races. If they don't win, they're going to train extra hard so they're able to win. People don't wake up one morning and decide to run a marathon. People don't wake up. Who's here, by show of hands, have seen Forrest Gump? All right. Everybody, do you remember the scene where he says, "One day I just decided to run. And I kept running, I kept running." He ran for 3 years. Nonstop. Nobody in their right mind is going to do that. They might get that first mile and they'll say, Oh, forget it. I'm going back. For the Christians, it's the same thing. You have to train yourself. Paul says, I have to train myself. Paul put aside a lot of desires and pleasures he wanted. Paul had a hard life. It wasn't pretty. That's why it says there's always a goal in his mind. His goal is to witness and to preach and to win people, as many people to Christ as he possibly can. He's not boxing. That's why it says, not boxing in the air aimlessly. You're not seeing somebody out there going like this. He's got a purpose in mind. When you run, you got to stretch. As a Christian, you also have to stretch and train your mind and your heart and your eyes. It doesn't come naturally. You have to read the Word of God. By reading the Word of God, you're able to train, you're able to stretch your mind, able to see what God's wanting you to do, how to live a godly life. And Christians must put aside your foolish behavior, your youthful talk, your mindset. You have to put on a Christ mindset. Because if you still speak foolishness, and you live like you used to live, you're not going to last very long in the race. You're not going to persevere. And Matthew 22:27 states, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. If you get into Mark, he adds strength to the end of it. These are the four areas you have to train yourself. You just can't say, well, I'm going to train my heart, I'm going to train my soul, I'm going to be good to go. You forgot your strength. You forgot your mind. You have to train all four. If you start slacking in one, eventually those others are going to start slacking also. And think about Paul's life. One of his desires was to go to Rome. When he wrote the book of Romans, he was not there yet. He really wanted to go to Rome. And the church in Rome was one of the churches he had not set up. Other believers had set up. But he really wanted to go there. He got there. But he got there not the way he probably wanted to go. He got there through the 5-star accommodation transportation system known as the Roman prison system. He gets shipwrecked going to Rome. He ends up in Rome, and while he's in Rome, he's either under house arrest or he's in prison, chained to somebody else or chained to a guard. Now, the amazing thing is, you're like, well, that's really bad for Paul. I feel bad for him. Because I guarantee you, prisons during this time are not as luxurious as they are today. That's one place you didn't want to be. He actually got to witness to the imperial guard. These were the guys who actually protected Caesar. These were the head honchos, kind of like your Secret Service protects the President of the United States. He actually got to share the good news with the Imperial Guard, which I almost want to guarantee it. Those guys probably talked and word probably got back to Caesar on what Paul was preaching about. He was straining. It was not fun for Paul, but he was able to share the Word of God with people who might not have ever heard the Word of God unless he was in prison, chained to them. That's the vehicle God decided how Paul should witness to people. And the Christian race is extremely hard. You have to persevere. Just yesterday, Alex and his dad, John, were telling me how they had problems in the morning. They had belts going bad, bearings going bad. Corn had to be dried a whole lot more than what it should be drying. And that's, if I can imagine farming, that's tough. If things break down, you got to fix it. You're not out there getting your crops and making money. the time you're down is when you're not out there in the field. But they persevere, got things working, and now things are working again. That's the Christian life. Things aren't going to be rosy all the time. In Philippians, Paul had a thorn in his flesh. We don't know what that was. He does not tell us. Some people said he had a speech impediment. We do know he calls it as a messenger from Satan. I do know when Paul went around to all these churches to set up these churches, there was a little group that actually followed him, kind of what groupies do with your big concert bands today, and caused him all sorts of trouble. That may be what he's talking about. We don't know. But whatever it was causing him really a lot of grief. And there are times I have to imagine he wanted to give up. Because if you put myself or you put yourself in that situation, that has to run across your mind. It has to. Paul wasn't perfect. But yet again, he says, I strained. It was tough. But for him, it was worth it. Because the more he suffered, the more bigger God became and the less he became. And the more people he was to win to Christ. That's part of running the race. You're not by yourself. You're with other believers. And it's hard sometimes when you get to run the race with other believers because they may make you mad or kind of make you angry at points of time. But you got to persevere. You cannot give up. If you give up, then you stop living for Christ and you stop living for God and you start living for yourself again. And you don't want to do that. Because that's got implications that you do not want. You don't desire those. Now the application part, this is the third point, is the application. Is how do you apply this part of Scripture to your own life on a daily basis? Point one is, prepare yourself. Pray in the mornings. Set a time aside in the mornings before everybody gets up. And have a quiet time. It doesn't have to be 3 hours. Don't think, oh my gosh, I got to have 4 hours or 3 hours or 2 hours. Start small. Go 5 minutes. Go 10 minutes. And over time, you can build your time up. Don't try to take on large chunks. If you do it in smaller chunks, you're going to make it. If you try too big, it's too cumbersome and you're going to give up after a very short period of time. Memorize Scripture. Keep Scripture in your heart. Psalm 1:2 says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. You're not guaranteed when a tough situation arrives in your life, you're not guaranteed to have the Bible on hand. You're not guaranteed to have it. But if you memorize Scripture in your heart, that's what's going to keep you going. That's what's going to get you through that time. Start a journal. And though this journal is not only for women, men can keep journals too. And the purpose of the journal is, what happened during your day? What did you do? Was there any... What caused you to sin? What did you do? How did you react? That allows you to, over time, to see what triggers your sin or where you need to grow at in your faith and what areas are strong. It's just a good way to keep a daily checkup of where you're at. Because if you keep it over the years, you'll be amazed on where you started from and where you grew. And how far you've gotten. And also pray. Keep a prayer journal. In that journal, keep a list of what things to pray for or who to pray for. Because if you tell somebody, I will pray for you, don't worry about it. I'll give you 48 hours and don't forget to pray for that person. But if you got it, but if you got something handy, you just a no, just a little book, just a little notepad, write it down so you don't forget. And when that prayer is answered, you're able to write down, hey, that prayer is answered on this date. Praise God. Then you can start praying for something else. On scripture memory, I have to have flashcards. If I don't use flashcards, it's not going to get done. And you do it while you can sit, while you're sitting at a stoplight, while you're cooking dinner. There's all sorts of, you can carry around flashcards in your back pocket and just pull them out. And start off with easy verses. Don't start off with hard ones. Don't go to the book of Numbers and say, I'm going to pick a book. I'm going to memorize something from the book of Numbers. Don't do that. Start off with John 3:16. More likely, most people know that one. You want to start with something you know and not something that you don't know yet. Put the desires of your flesh away. Galatians 5:24. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Don't give in to your fleshly desires. Even though you're saved, you will battle those desires through your entire life. They don't go away. But you have the Word of God. You are a Christian. So you're able to battle those. Put those away. Don't feed them. Which means, watch what you put. Watch what on your eyes. Make sure what you watch on TV doesn't lead you to sin at some other point in, down the road. Because what you put in, what your eyes see, regardless if it's good or bad, it's going to be imprinted in your mind. And after a little while, when you're sitting alone by yourself and you're not even thinking about what you saw on TV or what you heard on the radio or in the music, it's probably going to pop up in your head. And all of a sudden you're going to start dwelling on that, which is probably not going to glorify God. So be careful on what you watch. Lastly, have confidence in yourself. Have confidence. Don't lose hope. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Guys, these applications, you can expand this how far you want to do it. But don't lose hope. Don't give up. If you miss a day of your quiet time, don't beat yourself up over it. Say, okay, I'll do it in the morning. If you get to the end, you're going to bed, and say, I haven't had my quiet time today. I promise you, if you do that, when you open your Bible, have quiet time at nighttime before you're going to go to sleep, you're probably going to wake up with your face in the Bible, not knowing what you read. But if you miss it, don't beat yourself up over it. It's okay. It's going to happen. Just do it again in the morning. Don't give up when the situations are tough. And if you're not in a tough situation right now, it's going to find you real fast. Just remember, Christ was crucified on the cross. Christ suffered every horrible thing that a person can do to somebody. He was rejected. He was spit on. They wanted to stone Him a couple times, but it wasn't ready for Him yet. If it happened to Christ, it's going to happen to you. It's going to happen to believers in Christ. You're going to get rejected. You're going to get made fun of. Unless you go to certain parts of the world, you're probably not going to be stoned. But don't give up. Keep running the race. Put blinders on your eyes if you have to. Keep looking straight. Remember, you got to have the cross in order to start the race. Your prize is eternal fellowship with God in the end. That's your prize. That's not perishable. So as you go out today, when you leave this church, You might break down on the road. I'm not sure. There's always going to be something in your life that may cause you to stumble, may cause you to go one way or the other. Don't do it. Ask yourself, what does God want me to do in this situation? What does He want me to learn? How does He want me to grow in my faith? Not woe is me. How can I glorify God more through my tough situation? Because the best part is, I guarantee the situation that you find yourself in, give it some time and you're going to have a fellow believer that may be dealing with that same situation. And you're going to be able to go back to that person and say, hey, I can help you out. You can pick that person up. Let's run this race together. Let's get you going. Let's get you off the sidelines. And as I wrap up, if you're not a Christian today, don't leave this church without asking about who God is or becoming a believer. And if you leave this church and you still say, I don't believe in God, but if you got questions, ask them. Don't be afraid. There's no stupid questions. I promise you that one, because I guarantee if you got a question, it has been thought of. You can ask me, you can ask John, you can ask some of the other people in this church. They'd be more helpful to answer those questions for you. And with that, we'll close with prayer. And John, I guess you'll come up. And okay. Father, we come to you this morning, and we do thank you for allowing us to have the freedom to come to a church, to have fellowship with one another, and to be able to grow as a community, as believers. And as we go in through our daily life today and through the rest of the week, that we do realize that situations are going to come up that are beyond our control. And some stuff we do have control in that happens to us. But do not let us fall to the side. Do not let us go off the straight path, Father. Let us keep running that race. Keep running towards you with our eyes only focused on you and nothing else. In your name, amen.